is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Our God, and all will see how great is our God. Then sings my soul, my Savior God. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art.
I see the Holy One high and Amen. If you have your Bible, would you turn to the book of Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 4. We are continuing our journey through the book of Hebrews, and Jesus is greater. And our particular section right now with Hebrews 3 and 4 is that Jesus is supreme. He is supreme in His faithfulness. And we're just walking through verse by verse, chapter by chapter through the book of Hebrews. And I'm excited this morning as we talk about the Word of God. And we're going to dig into the Word of God. But as we talk about this faithful Word from Hebrews 4, 12 and 13, I trust that many of you have seen this time and again in your life. I've seen it time and again in my life as I meet with folks, and even personally, I'm sure there have been men come along and individuals come along, try to encourage me and try to help me in different ways, and it doesn't really click until there's times where I'm in the Word, and the Word of God just absolutely pierces my heart and brings conviction and brings instruction and brings encouragement, and it deals with my heart. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about a faithful Word, God's faithful Word. And so Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 12. If you found your place, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? For the Word of God is living and effective and sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. No creature is hidden from Him, but all things are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore You. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You that it is right and it is true, and that it is powerful and it is effective. And I pray this morning that You would hide me behind the cross, You would fill me with the Spirit, and that the preaching of the Word of God, the powerful, effective, sharp Word of God, would go forth with clarity. And God, would You bless the preaching of Your Word. And I pray that You draw men, women, boys, and girls unto Yourself, that You be glorified. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. So this morning, the faithful Word of God, the faithful Word is what our focus is. And if you're taking notes this morning, the main idea is this, is that God and His Word are faithful to meet us right where we are. God and His Word meet us right where we are. Is anybody excited or thankful this morning that God didn't tell you, hey, you need to get cleaned up before you can come to me? I am. I'm grateful that he didn't tell a redheaded stepchild, say, hey, here's some things you've got to do before you can even get to me, before I'll even meet you or come in and save you. But rather, the King of Kings, the Almighty, meets us right where we are. And the Word of God does that very thing. And if you'll allow him, if you'll give him opportunity, he'll even this morning meet you right where you are. And listen, some of you may be coming in going, all is well, preacher. I'm pretty good this morning. Well, hallelujah. But you still need him. You imagine today, if we were following along the Jewish calendar and things and church history, today is the day of Pentecost. Today is the day that the believers were gathered in an upper room, begging for the power of God, begging direction from God, and the Spirit of God fell, and the New Testament church was born, and you and I are here today because of the day of Pentecost. What if the Spirit of God fell today? And the Word of God met us right where we are, and the God Almighty, the Holy God, the name above all names, met us right where we are. He will. So the question this morning then, not only will he meet you today, he'll meet you anywhere, anytime. And so the question is, do you have a time where you regularly engage, whether you regularly read the Bible? You need a time in your life. And listen, I'm not going to push, I'm not going to promote a specific reading plan. I'm not going to promote anything other than you ought to have an established rhythm in your life where you are in front of reading, consuming, engaging with the Word of God. And it's got to be more than just Sunday morning. And let me just challenge you, it's got to be more than your quarterly curriculum. That you need a time where you regularly engage and are encountered with the Word of God. And so out of our text this morning, these two verses simply, I want to bring to you four key ideas, four key truths out of the text related to this faithful word. So number one, the faithful word is life producing. It is life producing. Listen to the text, and we're going to take this phrase by phrase. So I know many of you have the Hebrews journal and a lot of notes, and I apologize already. You're fixing to wear out some pages here with some notes of just over a couple verses. But notice this, the Word of God, I love this. Maybe should have put a slide up to see this in the Greek. It's tais logos tau theos. And it's this Word of God. It gives such authority to it. The Word of God is, look at this, living. Mark or underline living. This word living, it means life-giving, life-producing. Write this phrase down. It breathes life into people. Boy, isn't that powerful? I mean, listen, I try at times, and I don't always do well, but I want to speak words of encouragement, and especially with my kids, and I think about this often, but go, man, I need to say some things to them that'll help them sell, that'll help them really encourage them and equip them and be a blessing to them. But this is what the Word of God does. The Word of God perfectly breathes life into people. You need to engage in the Word of God because you need the Word of God to breathe life into you. And where does it begin? Even Romans tells us, says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. Listen, sometimes we have folks come, or I have people come to me and say, hey Chris, I don't know how to share the gospel. Would you teach me how to share the gospel? Will you teach me how to share your faith? And so we talk about different things, different tools, different things I've learned along the way that others have shared with me. But I try to, without fail, I talk to them about this, that if you're going to share the gospel, you better use the Word of God. Hey, listen, all the illustrations, all the tools, all the questions, the big question that I use, if you died today, where would you spend eternity? All those things are great. And listen, we're getting ready to send a mission team over to Ukraine, into agronomy, and we're going to talk about that later. But here's the reality, the symbols that we use, you see those all over the place now. We use them a lot. Those symbols are great, but listen, dear friend, if you just share what that symbol is and what it means, and it's not attached to, it's not tied to the Word of God, that doesn't have power or authority. It doesn't say a tool has power, but it says the Word of God breathes life. It is living. And so you need to know, dear friend, you need to be consuming, engage with the Word of God, because you need it to breathe life into you. When you got saved, you didn't get saved because it was a good idea, although it is a good idea. You didn't get saved because somebody told you to, although we ought to tell people they ought to get saved. But listen, dear friend, if you came to a saving relationship of Jesus Christ, it's because somewhere along the way, somebody loved you enough to share the Word of God with you and share the gospel with you, and it breathed life into you that you may repent and believe on Jesus. For me, the summer of 2004, Tony Nolan stood in Tallahena, Oklahoma, in an outdoor tabernacle, and he shared Matthew 7, 21, 22, and 23. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? Have we not done many wonderful works in your name? Verse 23, and he says, I will look at them, declare to them, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for which I never knew you. You know why I memorized that? Because I can tell you, I was sitting underneath that tabernacle, and the Word of God hit me right here. And for the next 2 months, I wrestled. I pulled over to the side of the road. I got down in that single-wide, three-bed, two-bath mobile home and laid on the floor begging for the mercy of God because I thought I was saved. But when I heard, depart from me, you worker of iniquity for which I never knew you, it resonated in me time and time and time and time again until October 10th, 2004, during a training union or discipleship training, depending what eighth-generation Baptist you are, right? I got in the back of a church building at First Baptist Branch and said, listen, God, you've been convicted of me and I've been running from it. Here I am. And God saved me. Why? Because somebody preached the Word of God and it produced life. Dear friend, the Word of God is life producing. Listen to Psalm 119. And I don't know if you have your Bible, you may hold your finger in Psalm 119. We're going to reference that quite a bit this morning. But Psalm 119, verse 50, this is my comfort in my affliction. Your promise, look at this, has given me life. Is anybody struggling with some affliction this morning? Is anybody in the midst of some hardship and some tough times and your soul is afflicted? Listen to what the psalmist said, right in the midst of my affliction, in the midst of my adversity, in the midst of my struggle, your promise, what's he talking about? The Word. He's talking about the Word of God. Your promise has given me life. It has produced life. In the midst of your struggling, in the midst of your hard days, you need to be in the Word of God, because not only will it bring about salvation, but for the believer, it'll produce life in you. Isaiah 55:11. So my word that comes from my mouth will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I please it. And look at this, will prosper in what I sent it to do. Prosper, that's growth, that's producing. That's why I talk to people when they share the gospel. Share the Word of God. Listen, you may have figured this out already. I'm pretty stingy with this pulpit. For a couple reasons. One, I believe that's one of my responsibilities as shepherd, is to make sure as best I can, whoever stands in this spot and preaches and stands to preach or proclaim anything, that it is based on and it is from the Word of God. I pray often when I come in here, God, I pray that me or anybody else who stands here wouldn't do anything but preach the unadulterated, unhindered, unchanged Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God produces life. Not my terrible attempt at funny stories or not my terrible illustrations, but rather it's the Word of God. And Isaiah says, listen, the Word of God will go forth and it'll prosper in which He sent it to. It'll grow. It'll produce life. 1 Peter 1:23. Because you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. He said, you've been born again because of the Word of God. You saw your need for salvation. You saw how desperate you were without Christ. You saw your hopelessness without Christ. Why? How? Because of the Word of God. It produced life in you. And so, number one, the Word is life-producing. Number two, the faithful Word is powerful. It's powerful. Look here at verse 12 again. For the Word of God is living and effective. Mark or underline effective and write powerful out beside it. It's capable. It's powerful. It's sufficient to accomplish its purpose. That's the idea that is here. The Word of God, it not only produces life, but it's saying it's effective. It's good at what it does. It is powerful. It is sufficient. It's enough. Sometimes we want to dress it up with all sorts of things and we want to add things to it and we want to bring things alongside of it. And it's sure, it's good to learn and it's good to hear from other things. But sometimes, friends, sometimes family, we just need the Word of God and read it in its purest form and just get into the Word of God and not worry about the commentaries, not worry about what others have to say about it, but rather just read the Word of God because it'll produce life in you and it is powerful. I recently read through the book of Psalms 119, and I don't have time this morning for us to walk through and highlight. Listen, Psalm 119, if you will, is a love letter to and about the Word of God. It is one of my absolute favorite chapters in all the Bible. I recently read through it, and as I was preparing for this week, I was walking through and just trying to walk through and go, okay, let's look at Psalm 119 and look at what are some of the powerful things or some of these other ideas I want to talk about this morning. And listen, we don't have time for me to walk all the way through it this morning, but there's a couple areas I just want to highlight just to say, hey, here's some explanation of power. Psalm 119, verse 9, the psalmist writes this: how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping your word. Well, yesterday evening we had a great time. We had a men's fish fry, and I had a bunch of folks show up, and somebody said, man, I can't believe somebody showed up. I said, yeah, free food? Free fried food? A man will be there. It doesn't matter what else is going on. He'll show up. And so anyway, I appreciate the Overtons extending their home and invitation to us to be able to be there. And just a great time of fellowship and a great time at winning a whole lot of games at Cornhole. But we don't have time to talk about that, okay? But we had a fun time and just enjoyed that. And I took a few moments and just shared just from my heart and from the Word of God, Matthew chapter 4, about being following God and being fishers of men. And I challenged our men. We're in a day and time. We need everybody to step up, but we need men to step up and lead their households. And we need men to reach men. So this doesn't relegate children. It doesn't relegate women. That we're all created in the eyes of God. We all have our purpose and our function. But listen, even the psalmist looks here and goes, look, how can a young man cleanse his way? How can he walk a life of faithfulness, a life of purity? By how? Keeping the Word of God. And the only way to keep the Word of God is you got to know the Word of God. The only way you got to know the Word of God is going to be reading and listening and studying the Word of God. So young men, young ladies, how are you going to get to the end of your life and be able to look back and go, listen, I made some mistakes, but for the most part, I walk clean and close to the Lord Jesus. I've got a life of testimony, and I don't have a testimony like Pastor Chris's, but I've got a testimony that says, man, I tried to pursue Christ daily. The only way that happens is if you look back and you see a life that is filled with daily interaction with the Word of God. Young lady, how are you going to one day stand at the front of a church like this and hold a man's hand and know that you are clean and close to the Lord Jesus and you are doing things and you've waited on this moment to honor God with your life? How will that happen? Only by daily interaction with the Word of God and pursuing Christ. Some of us that maybe aren't quite as young, how is it are we going to run this race well? How is it we're going to finish well? How is it we're going to fight the sinfulness in our life? It will only happen by the Word of God. Listen, because the Word of God is powerful. Psalm 119:11. I have treasured your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. The psalmist knew to live a life of faithfulness, he had to know, read, study, consume, memorize the Word of God if he wanted to live a life of purity. There's some things in your life that you're fighting against. There's some pet sin that nobody knows about. There's some struggles in your life that you just can't harness, you can't tame, you can't deal with. Dear friend, if I'm you, and I try to do this in my old life, if I'm struggling with gossip or whatever it is, then you run to the Bible, find every verse that says about gossip, and you study everything you can, you memorize Scripture, and you do all you can. This is our tool to fight against the power of sin. Listen, you think sin doesn't have power, you've lost your mind. I know, just Will Ratcliffe came out, I'm sorry, but listen. The enemy is a powerful enemy, and temptation is strong, and sin is strong, and it needs a strong weapon to fight against it, and it only happens through the Word of God. And so there's this fight against sinfulness that demonstrates its power, but also strength. Strength to carry on, strength to press ahead. And the psalmist talks about this, Psalm 119, verse 28. Listen to what he says, "I am weary from grief." Then what's he pray? "Strengthen me through your word." Is anybody here this morning and just weary from grief? I'll be honest with you. There's moments and times right now that I am. Seems like we've been through a season where I've stood next to a whole lot of caskets. And I've sat with a lot of families. I sat with a lot of friends through grief. How do we press ahead? How do you continue on? Strength comes through the Word of God and time in His presence. Again, Psalm 119, verse 50 talks about His affliction. "This is my comfort in my affliction. Your promise has given me life." You can find strength in the Word of God. And so, not only is the Word of God life-producing, the Word of God is powerful, but listen, number three, the faithful Word is precise. It's precise. Let's look here together, chapter 4, verse 12. "For the Word of God is living and effective." There's the word for powerful. And notice this, mark or underline this, "sharper than any double-edged sword." Sharper than any double-edged sword. This is nearly close to an idea of a scalpel. That it's not quite the full picture yet, and I don't want to make more out of the original language than there, but it leaves hints to fragrance of, if you will, a scalpel. And I think that's a great picture for us to wrap our mind around, because it's important, right? When there are wounds, when there's immediate first aid personnel that've got to react to somebody, the doctor goes in to perform surgery, you don't want a blunt object trying to cut on you, right? You want the sharp one. And you want the precise one. When I was growing up, we would go to Every now and then, it was like a splurge. We got to go and get our hair cut. It was just like special occasions. Most of the time, it was number two, right over the top, okay? But every now and then, things went well and got to go get a haircut, and we went to a guy named Haskell. Last name's Haskell. And the name of his barbershop was, yeah, you got it, Hack. So we'd go to Hack's. And anyway, set is just one chair barbershop and four or five other chairs in there. And old Haskell, he had a disease that he would shake a little. Okay? And now it wasn't too bad as long as he was using the old buzzers, right? It wasn't too terrible when he had scissors because, you know, he's back, you really can't see him. But he liked to trim you up with a straight razor. And he liked to talk to everyone but the person in his chair. So you would sit in the chair and he's having a conversation and he had a little shake. And you know, if the sideburns on one particular side, it wasn't too bad because it was out of peripheral view. But I was a point guard. And I tried to work on my peripheral vision, except when I was in a barber chair. Because it would come time to trim you up, and Hack would have you in his your head in one hand and the razor in the other, and he'd talk about the ball game, and right here, just, hey, bud, let's focus in. Like, I realize you can't fix this necessarily, but let's focus in, right? But anyway, so we continue to go back. I don't know if my stepdad just enjoyed me sitting still for the first time in my life or what it was, but I'm going to tell you, Hacks will cure you of ADD in a heartbeat, all right? It'll settle you down. You want that precision. And that's what the Word of God is. The Word of God doesn't come in as this wrecking ball force that just does away with all the good as well. But rather it comes in with precision. And it gets, pardon the pun, it gets to right to the heart of the matter. It gets to that deep dark crevice in your soul. It gets to that black part that's way down, that's disease, that's causing some infection, and it addresses that. It is like a two-edged sword. The psalmist talks about this as well. Psalm 119, 66, about the intentionality and the focus of the Word of God. Teach me good judgment. Notice this, judgment and discernment, specifics, for I rely on your commands. He goes on, verse 105, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. Listen, I like to hunt, and so walking in, it is nice to have a lamp. Now listen, I realize there was a day and time where people carried a lantern and just went around, and you fight how high to hold it, all that kind of thing. You want to be able to see where you're going, see things around you. But there's something about having the light on my head that has a really good focus so I can look down, I can see, I can point it down so I can see where I'm walking. This is what the Word of God does. Yes, it illuminates, but it has a direct focus in front of us so we may walk faithful with the Lord Jesus. Psalm 119, 133. Listen to this. Make my steps steady through your promise. Don't let any sin dominate me. Do you hear the intentionality of that? Steady my steps. Help me to walk faithfully with you, Lord Jesus. How does He do it? Through His Word. The Word of God is precise. You know this too. I can't tell you how many times, I know Jonathan would say the same, every pastor I've ever talked to, they're times when you preach and you've tried to be faithful to hear from the Spirit of God and preach the Word of God clearly and faithfully, and you stand and people come up to you and go, preacher, I don't know. Did you read my mail this week? How'd you know I was going through that? It happens the other way too. Sometimes people get tighten that upper lip and go, what is he preaching about that for? Who told him what I did this week? and get all fired up. None of y'all have ever done that, I know, okay? We're talking about other people in other places at other times, but why? Listen to me. The Word of God is precise. It meets you right where you are. I promise you, I didn't come read your mail. And I didn't hack your phone and do any of that. But it's rather it's because the Word of God is precise. And it gets to the heart of it. So, the Word of God is life-producing. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is precise. And then number four, the faithful Word is personal. It's very personal. Listen to Hebrews 4:12 again. For the Word of God is living and effective and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the separation of soul and spirit. By the way, there speaks to that effectiveness, right? That precision. Joints and marrow. And notice this, it is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And if you read verse 13, this no creature is hidden from Him. But all things are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. It's able to judge the thoughts and intentions. Did you notice that the writer of Hebrews didn't even deal with the outward actions? Didn't even deal with what happens on the outside. Didn't even talk about, didn't even address what everybody else could see. Why? Because that's understood. That's obvious. That's easy. Some ways you think that's not all that impressive if God knows what everybody else knows. But rather, God knows that plus a little more. He knows the thought that went into it. He knows what you think about. He knows what you spend time thinking about. He knows the plans that you are trying to scheme up or make ready. He not only knows that, He knows the intentions behind your thoughts and your actions, and mine as well. He knows when I respond. And I maybe used some correct terms, but what I really meant by that. He knows when I go to do something or whether I'm really doing it out of love and sincerity or I've got an ulterior motive. See, because the Word of God and God Himself is personal. Psalm 119, verse 59. I thought about my ways and turned my steps back to your decrees. Why? Because it was conviction on the Word of God. It's personal. Psalm 119, 103. How sweet your word is to my taste, sweeter than honey in my mouth. There's the consumption of the word. And that psalmist has made it personal, and that word is personal to him. How is it that you, going back to the illustration of a preach the Word of God, and somebody comes out and says, "Preacher, will you read my mail? And God dealt with me about this." And the next person behind him goes, "Preacher, will you read my mail? And God dealt with me about this." And it was two totally unrelated things. And sometimes I wonder, what sermon were they in? Why? Because the Word of God is personal. That sitting in this room even now or watching online, that some of you will walk out and God has dealt with you about specific areas and specific things in your life, and others will walk out and God has dealt with you in areas and other things in your life. Why? Because the Word of God is personal. It meets you right where you're at. And it produces life, and it's powerful, and it is precise. It is not a shotgun approach. It is a sniper. 1 Samuel 16:7, the prophet tells us this, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance of his stature, because I have rejected him." Talking about David. "Humans do not see what the Lord sees, for humans see what is visible, but the Lord sees the heart." Dear friend, it is a significantly high likelihood you can fool me. You can fool other people in this room. You can fool other people in this church. You can fool other people in your life. You can fool your spouse. Same goes for me. But you'll never fool God. You'll never get over on God. You'll never pull the wool over the eyes of God. Did you listen to the word picture that the Hebrews gave us in 4:13? No creature is hidden from Him, talking about God. But all things are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him who we must give an account. That's some strong language, right? He gave a real visible picture because He did not want us to miss this, that you and I lay naked and open to God. And not so much in a physical sense, but rather emotionally, spiritually, our thoughts and our intentions. God knows every thought I've ever had. God knows every intention I've ever had. And if that was not enough, verse 13 ends with a staggering revelation. He is the one also we will give an account to. And so, dear friend, you may pull the wool over my eyes or your spouse's or whoever's, but one day, every single one of us will stand before Almighty God and give an account. The Bible says this, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. One day, we'll stand before God and give an account. Now, for those of us that know Christ, our eternity will not hang in the balance. But rather, it'll be a testing of fire to see what remains and what is done away with. What will remain will be able to be cast at the feet of Jesus. But those who have not surrendered their heart and life to Jesus, everything you've ever done, everything you've ever thought, every intention you've ever had will be laid out, because the Lord knows every one of those things, and you'll give an absolute account for everything, and at the end of it, you will come up short, you will come up wanting, you will come up desperate for the mercy of God, but it will already have been too late. Dear friend, I don't know how you came in this morning. If you're angry, if you're hurt, if you're bitter, if you're grieving, maybe you're just numb. My hope and my prayer is that the Word of God has done what it says it will do, and it has pierced to the depth of your soul. And it's convicted you, it's corrected you, it's instructed you, it's admonished you. Maybe it's produced life in you this morning. But dear friend, don't miss this. God will meet you, and His Word will meet you right where you are if you'll let Him. Sometimes we sit under the preaching or the teaching of the Word of God, and God deals with our heart. God does some things. And we're so worried about 12 o'clock, and we're so worried about the lunch hour, or we're so worried about our to-do list or whatever it is, we don't take time and pause and let the Word of God and the Spirit of God do what He wants to do. Pentecost didn't come because somebody had a timer. We've lost the ability to tarry, to wait on the presence and the activity of God. And listen, you've got a choice this morning. You've got a choice every time we have the preaching of the Word of God, and there's an opportunity to respond. It's sure You can bow your head in a moment and wait it out and go about your day. And for some of you, maybe God didn't deal with your heart this morning. I have no idea. That's between you and the Lord. But some of you, God maybe has dealt with your heart. And before you run off to get something to eat, before you run off to get your to-do list or your Walmart pickup or whatever it is, you need to have a moment to let the Word of God work in your life, and you need to respond to Him. And some of you, that may be just praying right where you're at, and that's just fine. Some of you need to come get on this altar in a minute and respond. Some of you maybe need to pray in just a moment when I walk you through how to be saved. And you need to give your heart to Jesus and let God do what only He can. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore You. Pray, God, this morning that everything that, God, You want to do, I pray we would give You opportunity to. I pray, God, we'd respond. We'd be obedient. Be sensitive to what You have this morning. If you're here this morning and you need to trust Christ for salvation, you just call out on Him, beg Him, God, please save me. Forgive me of all the wrong that I've done, all the wrong thoughts, all the wrong intentions. I surrender my life to You. Just pray and beg Him for salvation. Tell Him you'll go wherever you want Him to go, and you'll do whatever He wants you to do, and you'll be whatever He wants you to be. Be the boss of my life. God, I pray for anybody here who just is begging You for salvation. I pray You give them grace to repent and believe on You. And I pray for the rest of us that You spoke to our heart. You dealt with our heart and our life. I pray that, God, we would make sure we're sensitive to Your leadership and we respond to You in this moment. Pray in Jesus' name. You remain the attitude of prayer. If you just prayed and asked God to save you, you ought to be the first one down here. Say, hey, Pastor, I asked God to save me. I want to rejoice with you. I want to pray with you. If God dealt with you about something else, then you come and you get on this altar and you do business with God. You need somebody to pray with you, I'd love to pray with you. However God worked in your heart, worked in your life, you come now. Stand and worship the Lord together.
My God, that is who You are.
Quickly want to share a couple things with you before we dismiss. First of all, I want you to see a slide behind me. We're going to pull it up, and we are introducing today our summer giving goal. Now, let me tell you about this, and hopefully you'll tune in and listen very carefully because I don't want to miscommunicate anything or mislead what this is, okay? Our most active time of ministry, along with our greatest demand for financial needs, happens during the summer, from Memorial Day to Labor Day. It's by far our most active time any calendar year, and it takes the most funds, if you will, to do those ministries and do those activities. And so, in combination with leadership, with me and the stewardship committee, we wanted to, we've been praying about this, thinking about this, and so this year we are doing a summer giving goal. Now, we set, for the calendar year, we set a budget, okay? We have a set amount budget that we have budgeted for the year, hoping, okay, that we can use X number of dollars for this ministry and that ministry, and a lot of activity, a lot of work and planning goes into that, okay? And now what I need you to know and hear very clearly, this is not a giving goal that is above and beyond our annual budget, okay? It actually is a slice of the pie, if you will, out of our annual budget. And so this is the goal that we are putting out before you in that 15-week period, which starts next Sunday and goes to the Sunday before Labor Day. That's 15 weeks, and our goal for that giving is $125,000. Now, again, that's not over and above what we've said our budget is for the year. That's a slice of that 15-week pie in some way, if that makes sense, okay? So we've set that goal for $125,000, all right, for that 15-week period, and we're going to watch that progression. But this is what I need you to know, is that as you give, this is your regular tithes and offerings, okay? As you give, it supports the most active time of ministry for our year. Mission trips and camps and VBSs and all those sorts of things. And we weren't able to do a lot of things last year because of COVID. And we're having to modify some things, but thankfully it seems we're able to be able to get back to some of those things. So here's my challenge to you through this is that for many of you, you are giving sacrificially. You're giving all that you can. You're on fixed income and you're giving sacrificially. And hear me clearly, okay? I don't want to misunderstand. Thank you. Thank you for your giving. And I don't want this to come across as a kicking or anything like that. I want you to hear this of going, listen, some of you are giving all that you can, and we thank God for that. We're grateful for that. And there may be some of us in here may be able to give a little more. And maybe we've taken a step of obedience, we've taken a step of faith, and now we can take a bigger step of faith and trust God and give sacrificially. And there may be some that aren't giving on a regular basis. And you say, hey, this is a great time to get started. And I just want to tell you one way to give. But before I do that, I want you to know this. By God's grace, as long as we have in-person services, all that kind of thing, we're not doing away with pink envelopes and we're not doing away with offering plates. Yes, we are having to do it a little bit differently now. But just know that's not going anywhere. I'm about to talk about digital giving. And I don't want you to hear, well, I'm talking about digital giving, but we're doing away with envelopes or giving in a plate or being able to bring it by the office. No, we're not. But I do want to tell you about one good way or one helpful way, maybe for some of you, is the digital giving option. You can go to our website and you can go to, there's a button that says give, and you can set up the giving. Now, hear this, you can set it up to be recurring, meaning that it comes out, you can set it up as an automatic draft out of your bank like many of us do all sorts of different things. And if you do the ACH, the e-check option, it's only 30 cents for every transaction. If you give using a card, there's a percentage plus that 30 cents. And here's why I tell you that, is I know that activities are coming up during the summer. We take vacations and we go on trips and all sorts of things happen. And I know sometimes out of sight, out of mind, that it's easy for us to go on a trip and we're gone on Sunday. We don't think about giving and then it gets hard to make up. And now, again, some of you are very faithful. You give through pink envelope. You never miss a time. And hallelujah, we thank God for you. That's not going anywhere. We're grateful for that. But it may be that for some of you, and my family's this way, is that we want to try to make sure that we're faithful in our giving. And we use the digital giving option, but you can set it up where it just automatically does it, and you can do it in accordance with however you get paid or however you receive your income, meaning whether it's monthly, weekly, bi-weekly, whatever it is. We've got some in our church that just absolutely love it, that have shared it has been really helpful for them to be faithful in their giving, and that's all it is. It is a way to increase faithfulness for some. And some still love to give through the offering plate, and thank God
for that.
Okay? All right, so this is our summer giving goal is $125,000 for that 15-week period. We're going to track that progress, and you're going to, yes, hear about that over the coming weeks and days ahead, and just know that's our focus in the days ahead for this season of going, hey, this is our busiest time of ministry, and it's also our greatest need, our greatest season for need of finances to give. And so we're just rolling that out this Sunday, and you'll hear more about it as the days go on. Now, in just a moment, we will dismiss, and we will have our men that are ready to receive those tithes and offerings, and as you want to give as you leave today. The last thing I do want to mention, I was going to have them in, but many of them are out serving and doing things. So our missions team is leaving on Tuesday, headed to Ukraine. We've talked a lot about this. We have five individuals that will be going. Jonathan, Michelle, Erica, Ethan, and Linda will be headed to Ukraine, leaving on Tuesday and back on the 5th of June, I believe. So there are cards out in the foyer. There are T-shirts out in the foyer. You can purchase one of those T-shirts. That helps go support the mission work. Also, over by our offices, that entrance, there is a board, and there are pink envelopes that have numbers written on them. You take that envelope, and you give that amount of money. So if you take an envelope that says 24, and you give $24, and that goes to support that mission work to Ukraine. But more importantly than that, we need folks that are committed to pray for this team. Gary will be there. There will be others, a lot of translators, a lot of work goes into that. They'll be putting on the equivalent of like a backyard Bible club / VBS, and they're doing it in Agronomia that we've prayed often about. And Lord willing, going to get to have the first worship service there while they're there on the ground. So be praying for them. You're going to get a lot of different updates from us, a different prayer request and things. Also, we'll try to share some things through our Facebook. I know not everybody has that, but we will have some things there. And Pastor Jonathan and others will keep us updated on what's happening and what's taking place. But again, that team is Jonathan, Michelle, Erica, Ethan, and Linda. Pray for them as they go. They have all sacrificed a lot financially and just the general commitment to go. And so we need to make sure and lift them up in prayer. Amen? Okay, I know it. You're ready for me to pray and get out of here. But thank God for you. Let me pray. Be faithful to pray for them and stop by the table if you want to help support that mission. Okay? Lord, we love you and praise you. We thank you for all things, and I thank you for the opportunity to gather together, the opportunity to worship you. God, I pray for our missions team, God, that you would be with them, that God, you would go before them and behind them, prepare hearts, use them. I pray there'd be a great harvest in Agronomia. God, I pray for that leader of the school. God, you'd touch her heart, bring her to salvation. And God, I pray for that worship service that folks could come from all over, and that God, you would do an incredible work there in that community. And God, I pray for Jonathan and Michelle and Eric and Ethan and Linda. Your hand of blessing will be upon them. You would provide for them, sustain them, strengthen them, protect them, bring them back home safely. I pray, God, as we leave today, that we would give in a way that honors you. I pray you would take this summer mission, giving goal, and God, you would blow us out of the water by faithfulness and giving. Help us to increase our faithfulness, Lord, that you would work, the gospel would go forth, and many lives would be changed this summer through the ministries and activity of Second Baptist. Lord, we love you and praise you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.